I know enough of the habits that flow through and derail everything in my life, you know? So it's what is taking your energy or causing you to not feel good, or what healthy habits are you doing that will actually give you the energy to go out and do what you need to do every day? It's a total game changer.
Welcome to Give a Heck. I am your host, Dwight Heck, and for much of my life, lived my life in quiet desperation, wondering how I was going to pay the bills, take vacations, save for retirement, and one day wondering if I would get off the hamster wheel of life and have purpose. A life that most of society lives, which takes us to work, then home, then repeat, and pays us hopefully enough just to survive. The harsh truth that most live with more month than money and have no idea how to live life on purpose, not by accident. This ensures the mass majority are living not just financially broke, however emotionally and mentally as well due to financial pressures. In each episode, I will introduce you to thoughts, ideas, and guests that can help you to learn how you too can live life on purpose, not by accident. Good day and welcome to Give a Heck. On today's show, I welcome Chelsea Husum. Meet an unapologetic force in entrepreneurship, personal growth, and empowerment. Chelsea is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, best-selling author, speaker, soon-to-be podcast host, as well as busy mother of two young sons and a proud wife. Chelsea's an intrepid female entrepreneur, has shattered barriers within the predominantly male construction industry, establishing a thriving startup in a major market. She helps make up the only 11% of women in construction and stands out even more as a female business owner in the field. She is a thriving in a man's industry because she chooses to do things her own way. Chelsea has triumphed over significant adversity and trauma, including enduring the pain of sexual assault. Chelsea is fervently committed to sharing her narrative of resilience and triumph, illuminating how she not only survived, but thrived. What truly distinguishes Chelsea is her relatability and humor, making her an inspiring and relatable figure. She doesn't just share stories, she brings them to life and will leave you, the listener or viewer, engaged and feeling connected and seen. In a world filled with so much structure and curated content, she offers all that authenticity that a valuable addition for all of us to experience. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Chelsea. Thanks so much for agreeing to come on and share with us some of your life journey.
Thank you so much, Dwight. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm excited. As our as our pre-talk, I think we're going to have...
Yeah,
we'll have our serious... we'll have some serious moments, but we'll have some, you know, little chuckles here and there.
Yep.
And sheep eating grins along the way. So one of the things that my listeners and viewers expect from this podcast is to understand and be connected to the person that I'm having a conversation with. And that's through a person's origin story, because really at the end of the day, we all come from somewhere. It just doesn't start from high school onward. It starts from our earliest recollections. So please do me a favor and share what key things from your childhood to adulthood that led you to where you're at currently.
I'd love to. So I am from a small town in South Dakota, about 11,000 people. I lived there my whole life. My parents got divorced when I was three, and then my mom got remarried. I think, gosh, they're almost going on 40 years now. So I lived with my mom and stepdad since I was six. And one cool fact about my family is my dad, my mom, and my stepdad, they all get along. We've vacationed together. They never talk badly about each other. It's actually really cool. People are like, that's weird. I'm like, that's really sad that that's weird. But what, you know, that everyone's so nasty to each other usually. But really, I had a great childhood. You know, you'd leave in the morning and your parents didn't care. You were out playing. You'd come back, eat something. You'd go back out till dark. It was great. You know, I appreciate now that I grew up in South Dakota, When I was in high school, I wanted to get out of there. I was kind of, you know, the small town mentality, like you feel like everyone's in your business. I was kind of over it in high school, but now when I go back, it's just kind of a quieter pace of life. And I really appreciate growing up there. And I went to school at South Dakota State University, got a bachelor in Spanish and broadcast journalism degrees. I got 2 degrees there. And then I had to do my broadcasting internship. And in South Dakota, there weren't a lot of options. So I came out to Denver and worked at like a suburb of Denver in a radio station to get my internship at the time. And then I ended up moving to Denver. And at that point, so I was like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? I thought I wanted to be a news anchor. I was going to be the next Barbara Walters, like completely convinced of that. And then once I started looking at these jobs, they're making 20 grand a year working nights and weekends. And I'm like, that's really horrible. I was like, that's not very enticing. So I was in Denver and I'm like, well, it's 6 months from when I graduated. The college bills are starting to come due, my loans. So I need a job. So I took a job as a temp office person. So I just would work at different offices downtown Denver. And I will be honest, if you put a South Dakota girl in Denver, I went down some one-way streets the wrong way pretty often. I was terrified of parking anywhere. It was kind of brutal. But now I've finally gotten used to it. But I worked, so from that company, the owner was like, hey, you need to meet my sister. Her company's hiring. So I met this woman and, we bonded. She was from Minnesota. So we're like, we're Midwest gals, you know? And, so she needed a receptionist. So I went and worked at a trade show, an experiential marketing company for about 5 or 6 years, started as a receptionist. Then I moved up throughout the company and I really enjoyed it, but kind of throughout or at the end, I was just in my gut. I was like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything that matters. That's worthwhile. That's like giving back to the world. Right. So I'm like, well, okay, well, what do I even want to do? So I start soul searching. I figure out, okay, well, I have this Spanish degree that I'm not using at all. I want to be a teacher. So I quit that job, got my master's in education, became a high school Spanish teacher. I did that 10 years. And then the last year, I remember it was a day in September. I remember it vividly. One boy called me an effing waste of space. And I was like, oh, okay. And harsh. Yeah, I was like, and I just was like, I don't love this anymore. And then at this point, I'm like, okay, well, now what am I going to do with my life? Again, I feel like I'm restarting over. I applied for all these jobs. No one called me. It was crazy. So the only job I got offered was as an office manager for a small construction company. So I took it just out of desperation and started working in that job. And then I started my construction company in March of 2020, because what else are we doing, you know, at that point? And then, so I actually worked, I built my company and I worked that other job until April of 2022. And then at that point to work, be doing two full-time jobs was insane. I just couldn't take it anymore. So I finally stepped out and here we are today. And I live in Denver. I have 2 sons who are 7 and 10 and live with my husband and my dog, my chocolate lab. So sweet. Yeah, that's how I ended up here, I guess.
And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you reaching out, wanting to be on my show. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable though that I look at the notes I've been writing down as you were mm-hmm. communicating with me, and I look at the commonalities, the similarities between myself and the guests that I have on, things that I don't know about their origin. Yeah. You know, you grew up in a small South Dakota town, 11,000 people. I grew up mm-hmm. in a small community that was a little over 10,000 people, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's up to around 18,000. Like, you know, at one point in time, you couldn't have any secrets. My dad was one of the business owners in the community. And, you know, at the end of the mm-hmm. day, though, I didn't appreciate it. You talked about you
no,
couldn't wait
not
for
when
me
you're
to
in
get
it.
out. No.
Yeah,
And
you
now I go
didn't.
back to like I'm gonna go back there this weekend. My parents are still alive in their 80s, and I
Yeah,
come
that's
there and
awesome.
I look at the calmness and serenity, and it has everything the big city has. 'Cause really, how many
Yeah.
clothing stores do you need? How many fast
Exactly.
food places do you need? Do you
Yeah.
have a Walmart? Well, you pretty much you're good.
And you might not have a
Right?
Starbucks, but you have a coffee shop, and because
Yeah,
that's fine. There's
they
coffee.
have a Starbucks now. How dare they
Ooh, I
not
don't,
have one
that's
when I was growing up?
fancy. I know that's fancy. We don't have
Yeah,
one yet.
so I really relate to it's just amazing how the universe draws us together and the
Yeah,
commonalities that we
it
have, right? And what we go through.
is.
People talk about the strangeness of your parents being friends. That's I won't call it strange, I'll call it unique.
It is.
Right?
It's rare. It's rare.
It's very rare because in 21 years of my financial business, my lifestyle coaching and finance business, I hear more negative about it
Oh,
than positive.
totally.
So
Like really
thank you.
negative.
Thank
Yeah.
you for bringing a positive, slant to it, though,
I
because
prove it's possible, right?
oh my gosh, even me, I'm divorced. I've been divorced for a long time. I can appreciate my children's mom, but I
Yes.
can't be friends for there, right?
Yeah, and that's
Right.
fine. That's fine.
All right. At one point in time, we worked with one another, but now they're all adults. Now,
Yeah.
here's the fork in the road. I'll go this way, you go that way,
Yeah, and
right?
that's fine. That's fine. I wish you the
Well,
best.
yeah,
You wish
see
you,
ya.
yeah, bye. Okay,
Right. And I like the fact, I was the same way. Play till dark, just how many kids today though?
They don't. You can't even get that
Oh
today.
my gosh, they just don't understand the
No.
freedom. We
No.
appreciate that freedom now looking back, of course, right?
Totally. Yeah, like our
Right.
parents weren't like, where are they? I don't think they cared that we
Yeah.
were out there, not like, oh, our kids are going to get abducted or whatever. No, they just were like,
Yeah.
bye, see you at dark, like
Yeah,
always.
if you get thirsty, there's the garden hose.
Exactly. Truly. Or
Right?
you probably ate lunch at your friend's house and your parents didn't care. You just never went home. You just never came home and it was fine. It's that
Yeah.
makes me sad. And my husband and I lived in Denver and then we had our first baby and we moved to the burbs. And when we were driving around these suburbs looking, I was like, I saw 10 kids running down the middle of the street with no parents anywhere. And I'm like, yep, okay, I like this place. And while it's still a lot bigger than where I grew up, it's a different feel and it's just better for families.
Oh, absolutely. And I think back at what we got to appreciate and how our parents' lives were different too, because all of
Oh,
a sudden
totally.
the kids would all get together. They wouldn't come home until the street lights turned on.
Yeah.
And we'd come into the house while the parents would be hanging out. They'd have their old get up and go and
Yeah.
have fun. And they didn't have to worry about kids under feet going, what do I do? My game's not
I'm
working.
bored.
You know,
Yeah.
I've already watched that thing on streaming service so many times. Like, what's
Yeah, it's so
Netflix? Can we get
different.
another service? Oh my gosh. And I'm not criticizing today's children. I'm criticizing the fact that they've lost so much.
It's
They've
just the
lost so much
world has
connection to you.
changed. Yeah.
No.
And I say, like, I grew up in the 80s, like in 90s. That was like the glory days. It really was such a great childhood. And yeah, it is. The world has changed. It's, and I don't know. It's just our reality. So we have to be like, go throw a rock, play in the dirt. Play in the dirt. And they're
What?
like,
I'm gonna get
what?
dirty. I hear that from some
Yeah.
kids.
I'm like,
Oh,
oh
it's
my
hilarious.
gosh.
Some of my grandkids or even my clients or my relatives' children and stuff, and I'll go, it's back to that what we used to hear from our parents. We had to walk to school 3 miles uphill and 3 miles back uphill. And it's like, what?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
It was so much simpler of a time, and now I
That
find
really
myself
was.
telling my kids when they were younger, and now my grandkids, well, grandpa had to do this, or my grandson here recently, he's 11, he looks at me and he says, Papa, I can't believe you had to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't even matter what it was about.
Yeah. They're like,
And
what?
what? You actually, what?
There was a
Yeah.
phone on the wall. Yeah. We had to stand there.
Oh, What? You had to get up and turn channels? I remember telling my kids that at one time. I had to go up and, you know, my dad would say, turn the knob. Yep. Or we had this antiquated remote that would, like, a clicker button. And sometimes it didn't work. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just the reality is that we evolve and we grow. And leading into that, you know, I look at the notes I've written down here and listening to you communicate. One of the things that I find that stands out about you already is you're tenacious. Your tenacity of not wanting to give up and constantly elevate your life is fantastic. So congratulations for that. You're welcome. Because most people don't realize, those that are, you know, consistent to the show have heard me talk about this. Those that are new watching and listening, tenacity is a superpower. And the most successful people I've found in life, it doesn't matter. They keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You look at the fact. You Spanish degree, go get your master's, become a high school teacher, get disparaging comment from a snot nosed 11 grader, right? And if that 11th grader is listening, hopefully you're not the same person anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then you ramp that up to. It being humble enough to take a position that's, some might find, isn't at the same level as being a teacher, just working for somebody, and then developing through your tenacity to create your own company. And that's amazing. Congratulations again. Those listening and watching, the reason I'm focusing on this is it's never too late to give a heck about your life. It's never too late to step back. I've had business owners that don't get it, that aren't willing to step back and go and take, be humble and take a job again, realizing after I go through their numbers that it's better to work at a job than keep running their business. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It destroys some people. Obviously, it hasn't destroyed you. It just keeps on making you want to elevate and climb. And that's what people need to do if they truly want to change their lives. They don't have to be an entrepreneur.
No,
you can do it in your job, your career. You can do whatever it is. You just have to have that tenacity, that desire and drive to want to succeed.
I agree. And I said this to somebody the other day, and I'll give an example. So I do a monthly women's wine night at a nearby wine bar. And because I like to bring this wine bar business, and all these amazing women keep showing up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But we aren't meant, or at least I know you, and I can speak for probably the majority of your listeners. We are not meant to live a mediocre life. Like, back in the day, people probably worked the same job for 30 years. They hated it, but they got up, they went to it, you know, for stability for their family. They didn't find any passion in their job, right? That's just what people did. Now, like, I have to feel alive and feel passionate about what I'm doing, or I get bored so quickly. I'm a Gemini. I'm like, boom, I need to move on. This is boring me. I got to go immediately find something else that lights me up inside. And I was talking to this woman, and she's so sweet. And she's come to my event quite a few times. And she said, I'm working this job that I don't like. I don't feel valued, but I'm too old. What would I go do? I'm too old to go back to school. I'm too old to do this. And I can sense that she's not living her purpose. She doesn't feel lit up. She's not jumping out of bed in the morning, feeling she has something to go out in the world and do, right? Which made me sad. But she did say a step in the right direction. She said, I just signed up for line dancing classes. And I told my husband that it's aerobics. So he doesn't try to come with me because I want this to be my thing. I want this to be my thing that fills me up and makes me happy. And it's just mine. Nobody knows about it. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, okay, well, good for you. You're putting yourself out there. You're trying to go out and find things that bring you joy and fill you up. Right. But there are so many people out there. Like, look at me. I reinvented myself so many times. I had zero experience in construction. The company I took the job with, I got like 2 days of training. And then she left, and I'm sitting there like, wait, what? This is horrible. I have no clue what I'm doing. And there's like really intense things, documentation and paperwork and all these things that you have to do in construction. And I was like, I remember crying like, oh my God, what am I doing? I have no clue. But I asked questions. I called people. I put myself out there. I approached other people that were in construction to help me, you know, and then I learned it and now I run a company. So it's like, I want to challenge people. It's never too late to just completely start fresh, because guess what? If you're passionate, if you're a hard worker, you're going to be way more successful no matter what, even if it's something brand new to you, than everybody else out there just not doing anything, right? I mean, you can go out and work really hard and learn and be successful no matter what it is.
Yeah, of course. And the problem is with society today, they want us to be complacent. They'll talk about the fact, when aren't you ever satisfied? When mm-hmm. are you gonna stop doing this? Blah 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 right. blah. And you know, when I look at their lives and the facade of their life, and you open up the book of their life and you read it, look inside, and they're feeling helpless. They're living mm-hmm. lives of quiet desperation.
They're sad. Yeah.
Exactly. Their brain, mm-hmm. which is a giant computer, requires feeding. It requires change and knowledge mm-hmm. because your brain is your emotional center too. Like everything mm-hmm. to do with your life is surrounded around your brain. And we don't feed that 6 inches. We just don't. We don't have a supporting cast in our life, mm-hmm. which can be family, friends, coworkers, that when we say, oh, I'd like to do that, what is their automatic response? It's usually negativity.
It's usually throwing an anchor over our shoulder
and pulling us back. It's not helping us. So mm-hmm. there's steps, people that are listening, watching, that you can do to change your life. Mm-hmm. You do not have to stop being an individual. You do not have to be assimilated by society or your family. Mm-hmm. Individuality is a good thing in order for you to be there for others, right? You have to be selfish sometimes. Being selfish isn't a bad thing. No. Now, doing it the right way is important too.
For sure. And so a lot of times, if you say, I have this big dream on my heart, I have this big new thing I want to do, right? Many, many times, the people closest to you, your best friends, your family, are the ones that give you the hardest time, because they like knowing who you are. They know you like this, right? In this box. They don't want to know you out here.
They love their drama, they make you feel bad.
And it could be very close family members, very close friends. And so I know a lot of people. I'm lucky that I do have support from my family and friends, but I've found the right friends. I don't deal with negativity. I don't deal with drama. I put myself around people that are freaking amazing, that are out doing like big things. And I get inspired by them. And how can I serve them and like help support them? So it's like, while it's harder to move on from some family members, which that is a whole different thing. We could go on forever about that. But like with friends, at least you do have a choice. Who are you letting in your circle? Who are you giving your energy to? And when you leave, do you feel like crap and you feel judged and you feel like drained? Or do you feel like, yes, that was so fun, right?
Can't wait to see him again.
You feel seen and heard completely. They love you, all
appreciated. Appreciated. Yeah. Like it's just, and mm-hmm. you talk about it's tougher with families. Absolutely.
I
do a lot of life coaching on how to deal with those circumstances mm-hmm. of people that you have to be around a few times a year.
Maybe a spouse. Some people's spouses are not supportive. And I get that. That's hard.
That's why, but you think about it, the longevity of marriages today and the divorce, mm-hmm. you know, what did the pandemic do? It spiked mm-hmm. the divorce rate. It spiked up so many things and weaknesses in businesses and weaknesses and just so many things, because people never ever communicated. They were living on a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
They didn't have to face the reality of their spouse.
Or spend time with them. Yeah.
Yes. Because they were both their schedules. And I'm not criticizing either or. No. It's a reality. That people don't know how to be with one another. They don't mm-hmm. know how to communicate. Totally. They don't know how to give that, and we can fast forward into that part of the conversation, you know, the balance. Mm-hmm. Right. You talk mm-hmm. about that when I was reading up on you, and so many people, their personal lives versus the balance of work. Mm-hmm. I don't believe personally it's possible to have 100% balance. And I'm a Libra.
No, it's really not.
I'm a Libra. We're supposed to think of balance. Nah, don't exist. But what it does exist, though, is what I wanted to say is you can develop processes in your life. For me, it's core values that keep you grounded so mm-hmm. that you are not giving one more energy than the other, but also yes. understanding that today I have to give one more energy than the other.
Yeah.
Right.
And tomorrow it can be different. It's okay.
Exactly. As long as there's some similarity of equality, I guess, not equality, but you know, like the yeah. equilibrium yeah. between the two is yes. there, because so many people, I talk to them, and maybe you could add to this, do not enjoy the journey of life. They look back and go, oh, mm-hmm. I accomplished all this. And I'll say to them, what did you do with family? And it's a deer caught in the headlights. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. It's like, if you're going to be successful, quote unquote, right? To me, success is not, you know, being a business owner, or even if you aren't, if you work, whatever, even if you're a stay-at-home parent, right? That's an extremely hard job. But I'm going to use a business owner example. If I work 80 hours a week, that's not success to me. Let's just say I'm working 80 hours a week. My business on the outside shell is, quote, successful. It's won awards. It's making money. It's booming, right? But then I turn around. My spouse wants to divorce me. My kids hate me. My dog hates me. My health is failing. I'm absolutely miserable. Like, what was that all for? Really? To have a successful business and you lost everything that mattered to you that shouldn't be mattering, right?
And so money won't buy it back.
It won't. And then you're empty. And what is the point of that? You know, and it's like being whatever you're doing, build, like you said, take your non-negotiables. What is important to you in life? Okay, build that into your life. Fill your business, fill stuff around it. Make the things that are a priority. Like for me, I go to bed really early. Like I am in bed by 9.
By 9
hopefully
p.m.,
sleeping
yeah.
by 9:05.
I read
I'm
about that.
Grandma.
I
love it. I love it. And sometimes I literally put my 7-year-old to bed. I start putting him to bed at 8. So sometimes I'm in bed at 8:30, which is glorious because I love it. And but I wake up at 5:30. I go, everyone's in my house is sleeping. I go right to the gym. Done. Because like in my world in construction, the phone starts ringing at the latest 7 a.m. Sometimes it's 6 a.m., right? It's just an early starting industry. So I know, you know what? I took care of myself. I moved my body because I know that will do wonders for my mental health, my physical health, and I'm going to have more energy for the day, right? I'm setting myself up. And so I do that. You know, you have to build the healthy habits. Like I start looking when I'm feeling like crap and I'm not thriving, it's probably because I was drinking and now I have a headache. And then I skip the gym because I have a headache. And then I eat a bunch of greasy food at lunch. And then I'm snapping at my kids because I'm cranky. I know enough of the habits that flow through and derail everything in my life, you know? So it's what is taking your energy or causing you to not feel good, or what healthy habits are you doing that will actually give you the energy to go out and do what you need to do every day? It's a total game changer.
Problem is people don't want to reflect and actually internalize. They yeah. don't want to look intentionally into what is causing their challenges. Like yeah. you said, now if I go out and I know I'm going to have some glasses of wine or a couple mm-hmm. cocktails, mm-hmm. I'm not doing it knowing full well that tomorrow I need to be engaged, right?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah. Not, and we all know, love having a glass of wine, right? I mean, it's fun.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's having that life where you have habits mm-hmm. and you have, but it takes conscious effort
oh, totally.
On the daily. For me, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, right from the moment I open my eyeballs in the morning, I have gratitude. And throughout the day, depending on my energy level, sometimes I have to reinstate things that I teach mm-hmm. and educate to myself, right? Mm-hmm. Not being that hypocrite, yep. making sure I'm doing those things. And when I go to bed at night, I have gratefulness for what I've accomplished yep. or the lessons I learned or those character building moments mm-hmm. that are going to help elevate me to the next level, the next day and I get people saying, well, that's a lot of work. You know what? Nobody said really. Life wasn't. Nobody
well, yeah,
ever
life
said that
is
life
work.
Isn't work.
Exactly.
But it can be easy work if you develop processes and habits is what I was going to get at.
Absolutely. And like, you know, I tell people all the time, like when you're laying in bed at night, think of three, just it takes 30 seconds. Think of three things that you are grateful for that day. Before you get out of bed in the morning, you could think of three things you're grateful for or an intention for the day or whatever, because it's starting the day off on a positive note. So those don't take a lot of time at all. It's like
the
a minute.
The first one that I have, thank you for letting me wake up another day.
Another day. Right? Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's very simple. That's number one of three or five or whatever.
I get another chance.
People have affirmations taped to their mirrors and none of that's wrong.
Yeah.
But they forget the little simple things.
The tiny ones.
I woke up. Yeah. Oh, wow. I got running water. I got a roof over my head. I got food in my fridge. I do those every day. People go, well, that's kind of cheesy. Well, okay, I'll do cheesy and I'll continue to climb and be elevated in life and not be camped. And you do you. If you're not willing to step outside of it, like you mentioned as well, associations, people make you feel icky, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody teaches this stuff. So it's up to us to share these messages and let people have that spark, because everything's died inside of their brain.
Oh yeah. And I completely agree. I think I'm thankful for fresh water, for electricity. Like I've been to Ecuador and South America three times. And the last time I went was I took some students when I was still teaching, took them all, you know, we did a service project. So we're in the jungle. This community has no electricity, no running water. It's just, and we're there to try to help build the foundation for a water filtration system. And every night, like we're working, we're meeting these people, all the kids have parasites in their bellies, these big bloated bellies, because of they're all drinking this really contaminated water out of the river. They have no other options. So we're trying to help them build this filtration system. The kids would have like a quarter of a banana, like every 2 days. That's all they ate. I mean, it was really intense. And we would come back every night and we would talk with our students who are from like a suburb of Denver, pretty decent. Some of them are middle to upper, class, and they had never seen anything like it. And one boy, I remember, he said, you know, we're like, what do you think about today? And he's like, well, the problems that we think we have aren't problems. And I was like, okay, elaborate. He's like, well, does it really matter if I have the newest iPhone? Does it really matter? Blah, blah, blah. Cause these people are so happy and sweet and kind and they have nothing. And I'm like, thank you. Oh my gosh. It literally, you know, and so when I came home from that trip, I remember, and I still do when I'm brushing my teeth, I remember those families because I give thanks for it, right? Because not everyone in the world lives like we do at all. A large portion does not live like we do, you know? And it's like, I want to take my children once they're old enough to go experience that, because I sit and tell them it. And I used to tell my other students it, but like, they're like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? And until you've experienced it, that's when it's like, wow.
Well, watching it on television or reading an article or a book,
same.
It's not the same, right?
It's like not.
I remember my parents, I was probably 11, 12 years of age, grade five. My dad had, this is before Costa Rica became the tourist place it is today. Back then, he had friends that lived there. He had a conference that was going to happen there in San Jose. And he took us to Costa Rica and we went on this train, this rickety old train that took us into the jungle and to some of these small communities. And we get off the train at stops and stuff. And we'd go over to where there were, you know, little tourist stands for selling like a frozen banana, a chocolate covered banana or something like that. And we'd start buying things for the kids and there'd be literally, not exaggerating, 30, 40 kids would just be swarming and they're smiling. And, you know, there was people that weren't doing anything, but they were swarming everybody. They just wanted attention. Everybody in the world wants to know that somebody sees them.
Absolutely.
Right? That they're important.
That somebody cares, right?
Somebody cares. It's again, you know, we in our society today, we are entitled. so much. Like most, I'm not saying all of society, but North American, Western culture, we don't appreciate things
get
enough.
It. Mm-hmm.
We're not taught
We
in
don't.
school. Well, you're a teacher. They don't teach in school life skills. They don't teach it, right? Yeah, one teacher might try, but one out of five teachers they might experience in a day, that's not
exactly.
enough.
No,
right?
No.
Mm-mm. It needs to be part of the curriculum. So I appreciate your thought process on that. You know, again, always goes back to it's never too late, no matter what age you are. Like the person, that lady you communicated with at your event, you know, going to do line dancing, you know what? It's never too, I don't care what age you are.
She's putting herself out there.
You put yourself out there.
Yeah,
and
I
if
love
you
it.
Skin your knee, get back up, put a Band-Aid on, move forward. At the end of the day, you feel more fulfilled when you start worrying about you, your individual person, and then working on being a better person around others and having gratefulness and gratitude all the time. Because if you're watching this, you're watching it on a device that most people on the planet don't have. If you're listening to it, same thing, right?
Yep.
So always appreciate those little things. It makes your day that much better and your steps a little bit better too, right? You got a little bit more happiness and joy in your life. So this is a little bit more of a serious conversation I want to get into, because some things that I read in regards to your life, I've been a single dad, right? My kids are all adults now, five kids, four being daughters. There's always a concern what the world has and will continue to dish out to my four daughters. Of course, my son has his challenges, but not the same as girls do, not even close. They're all adults now, have experienced so much trauma themselves, including sexual assault, unfortunately.
Sorry.
I know, right? Sorry for what you've experienced as well. And yes, it is a sad circumstance. I know you face much adversity with your own sexual assault and overcame that through your resilient nature and now inspire women to harness hope and grit, even during the most difficult moments of their lives. Could you do me a favor and talk more about what transpired in your life and what you have done and continue to do to overcome and triumph over your adversities?
Yeah. So I'll share two stories that are pretty pivotal moments in my life, or, you know, pretty intense adversity that I've overcome. So the first one was about 20 years ago. I was in Ecuador in South America. I was studying Spanish there. I had been there the year before with a university group. And then I went back by myself that following summer for 3 months. And I ended up, so I was studying Spanish at this academia there. And I, one of the Spanish professors ended up drugging me, raping me, and took me to an abandoned house and left me there alone. And so it was just really horrible, obviously. And I remember waking up alone on this mattress on the floor. I had no clue where I was. There was no other furniture. I was alone. And I was like, had some flashbacks of the night before. I was so ill. I was throwing up. Like, I remember he was there. Some other man was trying to touch me. I told him no. I was blacked out most of the night, just like kind of coming to here and there. So I woke up and I tried to get out and I kept getting electrocuted for like a half hour. I couldn't get out of this house. Finally, I don't even know how, I'm like crying, finally get out. And I did, this is just ridiculous, but I did the only thing that I thought to do. So it was now the morning and it was school time. So I got a cab and I went to school wearing the same clothes I had on the day before. And I had to look him in the face. And I never told anyone for like 20 years. Like, I didn't tell my parents, my friends, anyone at the school. Literally just shoved that trauma down, locked it, threw away the key, just like pretended, probably because it was so traumatic, I could have died. You know, I'm in a foreign country by myself. Like, I just pretended like it didn't happen. And so, you know, that happened. And then a few years ago, or actually very recently, it ended last year in December of 23. So very recently, I found myself in a different situation, but feeling powerless again. I was in a lawsuit for 2.5 years, where I was being sued for millions of dollars. And all of these accusations being said about me that were not true, but I had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to from lawyer fees, you know, just living in fear. It was the most soul-sucking, horrible experience of my life. And having to run a company, be a mom, be a wife, like actually like hold it together was really difficult. I would wake up covered in hives. I would wake up in the middle of the night like, oh my God, this is real. It's not a dream. You know, it was really, really tough. And so I had my kids asking me like, mommy, when are we losing our house? Mommy, here's $12. You need it more than I do. You know, I had my kid's teacher one year at Christmas call and ask if we needed to be adopted for Christmas. If we, you know, if, cause my son had blurted out like, my mommy's in a lawsuit, you know? And she was like, what? Oh my gosh, this is, you know, weird. So it was really hard. And but the difference between these two situations is me. 20 years ago, I had done no work on myself. I didn't know who I was, right? I was a young 20 something. I was partying in college, whatever. I was depressed. I didn't have anything to live for, really. You know, I was just like, whatever. Now I remember one morning I woke up and I was like, I'm not okay. Like, I don't want to die, but I don't want to live anymore. Like, I cannot endure this. It is just beyond right now. So I remember texting a girlfriend of mine who is a therapist. And I said, I'm not okay. Like, I need help. She's like, I got you. And I immediately started seeing her. I started finally being like, okay, this is taking such a toll on you physically, mentally, emotionally, right? Get outside, get in the sunshine, say no to those meetings that you don't need to go to because it's just stressing you out more. You have enough to deal with. You know, quit drinking because you're drinking and that makes you feel like crap. And then you can't mentally make it through a day to deal with this if you're not feeling well. Get good food in your body. Like, talk to people, right? It's just, I knew that if I was going to make it through this, I had to actually take care of myself at this point. So it's like feeling powerless in two situations. But now as a 40-year-old adult, who I know who I am, I'm willing to do the work and I've done the work, but I know like what I need now to try to heal and work through things while it's happening.
Yeah. What a journey. Mm-hmm. It is a lot for us to, when we're growing up, to understand and not compartmentalize and bury trauma and tragedy. Mm-hmm. It's most especially difficult. I know as a single dad of four daughters, I've experienced what they've gone through. I've experienced mm-hmm. going to court mm-hmm. with the traumas mm-hmm. they've gone mm-hmm. through. And, you know, I look at them now years later after those events mm-hmm. and it's scars, right? Yeah, they're scarred mm-hmm. and some of them it's gone the opposite way where they've used it to empower and others yeah. it's held them back emotionally and mentally. Mm-hmm. And I think the key thing though is, you know, yes, it's 20 years later, but you sought out help and mm-hmm. you were able to admit. How many of us can't admit that we have things that are mm-hmm. buried within our emotional oh, yeah. and mental mindset? We just don't mm-hmm. know what to do. And mm-hmm. those listening or watching, there's always somebody that you can hopefully talk to. And if you don't, mm-hmm. then your associations are skewed. You need to change. Mm-hmm. Reach out to people. Just ask for help. Reach out to
yeah.
Chelsea or myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to have somebody listen to you and say, hey, it's mm-hmm. okay to feel that way. Now, mm-hmm. here's the next steps. Don't try to be yeah. that person's personal savior. Try yeah, to be their yeah. support network to guide and direct them to getting their demons under control. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine yeah. 20 years of that, how, you know, it escalated into you getting through that legal trauma.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of when it came out.
Yeah.
Like it yeah.
The hives, that's yeah. from the stress. Your life shortened.
Yeah. The amount of stress this was sad that I said this during it, like in the middle of it, but I was like, if I have a stroke or a heart attack, I told my husband this, like, you know why, like, right. If something happens to me right now, you know exactly why, because I am under so much unimaginable stress and just, it's just so horrible and heavy. Right. Probably that alone took years off my life, sadly. And, you know, but you have to, yeah, find those people, even if you have no one there, you can reach out to us. You have, there's hotlines, find someone, oh, right? Yes. No one deserves to, like, when we're in it, it feels so hard and we feel like it's going to break us. When you're in it and you feel like there's no way out, but you will make it out. You just have to dig. You got to dig a little bit. But like for me, I'm using this on the other side and I've become a stronger person. And honestly, I wouldn't change any of it because it made me who I am today. I wouldn't be doing this or talking. I feel compelled to talk about it now because I was quiet for so long. And you know, you have that shame and guilt. Why are we holding on to shame and guilt that's affecting our life and our happiness? No. Make peace, do the healing, make peace with yourself, get your joy back. And you don't need to go write a book about it or podcast about it or whatever, but at least make peace with yourself. At the very least, do that.
Because
get that lightness back, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I agree. You don't have to have a podcast. You don't ever have to write a book.
That's not for everybody. Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but thank you for, you know, sharing and being vulnerable about that, because, you know, some woman out there, some man, even
somebody needs to hear it.
Somebody needs to hear your message and the fact that you were able to triumph over it, even in 20 years. And when I say triumph, it doesn't mean it's tossed aside and you've forgotten.
Yeah.
It's still a part of your story. It's a part of who you are.
It is.
But being willing to share it is very traumatizing, but it's cathartic too at the end of the day. I'm not sure, you know, we haven't really talked about your book yet, but I imagine writing your book was a helpful process for you as well, correct?
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't know. I never wanted to write a book ever. It was not a goal of mine. So I heard this woman speak, and she was owns a publishing house in Denver. And I was like, oh, I think I could do that. And then at that point, I was like, still had no idea what the book would be about. And I just literally sat down and started writing, and these stories poured out of me. So my book is called Real Vibes Only: Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. And it's just a bunch of short stories of things that I've gone through in life. Some are really intense, some are in the middle, some are lighter. But it's just like me being real and saying, hey, I'm not perfect, everyone. Look at me, all these crazy things I did, or, you know, things that have happened to me. But giving women and people permission to own their story, get rid of shame and guilt, and let's just be real and stop trying to be fake and perfect. Like the world, I was in Italy last year, I turned 40, and I'm like, I want to go to Italy. I've never been there. And my husband and I were always like giggling because we're seeing all these women, their husband or boyfriend is taking their Instagram pictures. It's like 1,000 pictures, you know, that's fine. But like, I don't have time for that. I get on Instagram and like cry. I'm like, oh my gosh, my kids are driving me crazy and blah, blah, you know, this happened. And people are like, thank you for just saying it and being real, because we feel everybody, like society makes us feel like we should be perfect and like we have no problems or we're not going through anything. But once we actually can find community and people that we can be honest with and open with, that's where the deeper connection happens and you can be seen and heard, right?
We shouldn't have to have a shield on and live a life of a facade.
No.
I want to attract tribe of people. Yes, it is. Yeah. I want to attract my tribe of people that like me for the good, bad, and ugly. Right?
Exactly.
They like the fact that I'm direct. They like the fact of my humor. Do they like me 100% of the time? Probably not. I probably don't like them 100% of the time. But at the end of the day, being real and vulnerable initially is difficult. But once you get past it, man, oh man, like I tell you, then those gratefulness and gratitude things that we talked about take on even more meaning.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, and
because
I love,
we literally unpack our lives and don't have to hide anymore of
exactly
who we are, the genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the messages that I've gotten from, you know, people I know or just, you know, on social media of like, oh my gosh, I'm reading this and you're saying what I'm thinking. Like I've been feeling this and thinking this, but no, you know, I feel so alone and I feel, you know, it's like I'm just putting it all out there. People know way more about me than they ever wanted to.
Oh my gosh.
But like,
gosh,
I also am giving people permission to be like, look at this crazy lady. Look what she did. Oh, I shouldn't feel so bad about what I, you know, what happened to me or what I did.
Family or friends that read my book and reached out. I didn't know that about you. Why didn't you ever tell me?
So many people. Like,
well,
what?
Guess what? It was packed away. It was back there, and I nailed the lid on, and you know that's why
exactly.
You didn't know.
Even my best friend, she was like, "Oh my god, last night I was up till 1:30 in the morning reading your book, and like we grew up together." But she's like, "I know a lot of these stories, but there's so many I don't know, and I feel like I'm like relearning you who you are." And I'm like,
perfect.
Well, it's cool,
perfect.
Right?
That's awesome. Like, relearn me. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, you don't, somebody might not like you anymore. Oh, well, somebody loves you more. Oh, great. You know,
there's always going to be the people that don't like you, whatever.
You know what? My tribe does not need to be big. At one point in time, as a young man, young entrepreneur, I had my own traumas and tragedies, which come out in the book, obviously. I had to unpack them, but I was living a facade. I wanted to have this big group of friends. I wanted to have everybody like me.
Everybody.
That's exhausting.
It is. It's not real.
It is so exhausting trying to please the committee of they. Mm-hmm. They think I should be this way, so I am this way. Like, you know what? I'm going to be me.
Have a few really good, genuine friends that know and love you, like we said. That's all we need. You don't need 20 of them. It's just not going to,
Exactly.
Don't even try.
Exactly. So we're going to move on to the next thing about your entrepreneurial journey. You've shared some of it, but I'd like to know more information. Mm-hmm. So you created that successful startup, as you mentioned, in a male-centric construction world, which I imagine was difficult and really not for the faint of heart, right? What were some of the challenges you faced? And did you have somebody mentor you through the hills and valleys of starting your business?
I love that question. So there were a lot of learning curves. I think the fact that I had, when I left teaching, I started in commercial construction. And yes, I got thrown into fire with that company. I didn't really get training, but I learned the really hard way. So that when I started my company, I already knew a lot of that stuff. So that helped. But yeah, there's a lot of Googling, asking people, calling, you know, like, I just ask. If I don't know, I try to figure it out. But one cool thing that I've been very fortunate, I've met a ton of women in construction in Denver and men too. I have fantastic colleagues, clients. It's truly, they have taken me under their wing, which is amazing. But there's a few women that here own companies like electrical, masonry, a restoration company that they're doing multi-millions a year, which is just really cool. They're the owners, these female owners, and they just kind of, they're strong women. So like when I, years ago, if a situation would come up and I didn't know what to do, I would call some of these women and be like, okay, this is what happened. What would you do? And they're like, oh honey, they're bullying you. No, you move on. Don't even feel bad about that. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong or whatever? And they're like, no, don't even worry about that. You know? And I'm like, oh, thank you. Cause I've been like losing sleep over here thinking I did something wrong or whatever, or questioning then myself. So, you know, I found some women that have really are open to me asking questions or, you know, and one of these women, we met for lunch one day and it was the first time we were like hanging out alone in person. And I remember I had just, that week was renewing my commercial insurance policy and I was, it's just not fun. And I sat down, I'm like, oh my gosh, like insurance, it's going to be $65,000 a year this year, you know, this 65 grand a year for my insurance. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she goes, honey, mine's $450,000 a year. I'm like, okay. All perspective. I'm like, man, I'm going to shut up now because I'm still mad about this money, but yours is a lot more and you have 200 employees. Okay. You know what I mean? It's just like,
but you got to have people that are elevated above you to mentor you. That's the way I look at it. The masterminds I'm involved in. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're willing to say that, oh, honey, or, you know, like, what is your problem? This is what I do. And this is what it costs. Yeah. I've had those mental slaps from people. And go,
I'm like, okay. Valid point. Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's great though that you have a circle of friends or mentors that you can support one another. I find that there's so many that have the ability to ask questions that don't ask questions because they're afraid that they're going to get that response that makes them seem like they're less than or that they're
that
stupid.
They don't. Yeah, they feel have, like they
well, how
should
dare you
know
ask
it.
That? Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things I tell people when you ask those questions, make sure you ask those questions in a humble tone and have the body language of being humble because people want to know that they are appreciated too. So that mentor, knowing that you're appreciating them, may share something that they think you should have known, but they'll deliver it differently too.
Yeah.
Especially if they're a mentor. They've
And they're
going to
tell you the truth
knocks.
And help you more because then they're not holding stuff back, right? Yeah.
Well, absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. So based on this, what's one piece of advice you would have given your younger self when you started on the journey of wanting to be this entrepreneur? What would have made your life easier?
Well, yeah, I feel like I just stumbled here, but I've stumbled into what I'm meant to do with my life, which is really cool. But I would say, you know, if I could give advice back to my younger self, I would just say, you're going to make mistakes. Keep going. You're going to learn from it all. Like, I wouldn't change any of the stuff I've been through, the twists and turns, because you learn from everything that you go through, right? You learn different things, skills, how to deal with feelings, whatever. But yeah, I would just advise to myself, it would just be, you know, keep going because it will be worth it. It will. It's not going to be easy. It will be very difficult, but it will absolutely be worth it.
Yeah, it's, you know, at the end of the day, very simple phrase, nothing's worth achieving is inside of our comfort zone.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
And our comfort zone can be based on tragedy. It can be based on what you and I have both experienced. Mm-hmm. Different ways, though, obviously, but taking trauma and tragedy and pushing it back and packing it down. And it's, you know, people that are listening and watching just realize that you are worthy. You are worthy of change and appreciation and gratefulness. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be initially tough. But on the other side of that, that comfort that you've been living in is, you know, joy, like you mentioned.
Yes.
We're worth joy.
Yeah. We're worthy of love. You're worthy of it all. So don't ever tell yourself you're not. Every single human on this planet is worthy of love, right? And being seen and joy.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I wanted to, toward the end of the show here, wanted to ask you about is more going back to that balanced life between personal and business that we talked about, and core values and stuff like that. And, you know, it takes conscious effort, obviously, and on the daily. And people say, well, when are you going to stop that personal development journey? When are you going to stop talking about? Exactly. And I'll say to people, when I take my last breath.
Exactly.
And they'll look at me shocked. Why? You're never satisfied. Well, guess what? Those people, if you're hearing any of that, as you're growing and changing, change your association. If it's family, just don't hang out with them very much.
Don't tell them your dreams then. If you're getting that, you tell the people that are supporting you and you tell yourself, right? Yeah.
That's a good piece of advice. Don't tell them stuff.
Just if you know they're going to, bring you down.
If they see it on social media and they bring it up, just go, this smile and nod. Oh, yeah. Great.
Yep.
And
I'm
then
doing stuff.
Learn how to change the subject.
Exactly.
If you're in their presence. And if they comment on your social, because I've had clients complain about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that such and such is always commenting on them.
Block them.
Exactly. I've done it to family. I put them in a restricted status on social media, depending on what social media it is, so that they can't comment. They don't see anything. We're still friends, kind of.
They just feel like really you never post. And that's fine. You need to set boundaries. It's okay, right? With those people.
Boundaries. I like that. Mm-hmm, what would you suggest to somebody in regards to their boundaries? How do you enforce boundaries?
So I think for your time, I read this in so many different ways, but like, I'll kind of paraphrase, but you know, when I, like, let's say a meeting comes up or an invitation from somebody or whatever is being presented to me, I ask myself, is my like heart leaping for joy? Is this a clear, like when I hear, I'm like, yes, that sounds amazing. Right. Okay. Then I'll go. Is it something that is built, like moving my business forward, like specifically, like getting me a new client or a really good event that I need to be at because all, you know, all these people are there and that will, it'll directly align with my goals for my business? Will it directly align with my goals for my health or my personal or professional development? Like, and if that, if it's not a heck yes, if it's not aligning with your goals for who you want to be, then it's a no. And a no is a complete sentence. I'm like too nice. I'm always like, oh, I have to like feel like I have to give this elaborate, you know, oh no, well I can't because blah, blah, blah. No, just say no, thank you. I already have a commitment that night. Whatever. They don't, your commitment's going to bed early. Great. Your commitment's hanging out at home, right? Like they don't need to know.
You don't like, have to share everything.
You don't. And right? I feel like so many people, and I get that it's hard with children because kids now are in so much, which I could talk for like 20,000 hours on that alone. We'll save that for another day. But I truly know so many people are on like a runaway train. Their life is a runaway train. They just go day after day after day to all this stuff they got to do. They don't like or love any of it, but they just feel that that's what their life has to be. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't. You actually,
people pleasing can be a detriment in their lives.
Absolutely. Or you, like, you created this. So if you're really stressed out or your kid's in 5 million activities or, and you guys all spent, you know, you never see each other and you're running them around and every weekend you're gone at this tournament and that tournament and you hate it, then don't sign them up for so much stuff, right? I mean, say no sometimes or pull it back a little bit. They don't need to be in 5 things, each kid. You know what I mean? It's just, or whatever it is you're doing, if you hate it, then figure out a way to get rid of it and open up some free time to maybe just go smell the fresh air and get inspired and feel happy and not be so stressed out all the time. You know, I mean, you have to eventually take a hard look at your life. I am choosing to fill it with this, this, and this. What does not bring me joy, and get rid of it. I mean, I get like going to the dentist, whatever, we have to do that, whatever, suck it up. But we have to do that more and make the hard decisions. Cause I think people would be happier if they did that more.
Well, absolutely. And I look at people that are people pleasers and they're not willing to say that no, that hard.
It's hard.
No.
It is hard.
You know, even to their own children, like especially divorce. Mm-hmm. I remember going through divorce, having all the young kids and, you know, one parent saying this, the other parent saying that. And I'd say to the kids, listen, I'm one human being, right? You each get one thing. Well, I want to do this, and that. My one daughter, I caved and I allowed her to. And it put so much other burden. It wasn't just on me. It was burden on the other kids because now all of a sudden, why do they get this? And why did they? And all you're doing is getting all this blah, 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 and all this wah, 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 Charlie Brown kind of conversation going on. When at the end of the day, as adults, being in little league, gymnastics, soccer, dance, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's helped very little. Yes, it kept them out of trouble.
And they're active right?
But one thing, right? Yeah. So my one daughter that has the most of my grandkids, she's basically told the kids, you get one thing per season.
Yeah, mine too.
Winter, what are you doing in winter? What are you doing in summer? What do you, you know, that's it. You want swimming? Okay, you're in swimming. Oh, you're in Brazil.
And that's all you get.
Playing jiu-jitsu or whatever she has them in now. And then my one granddaughter, she's going to put her in something different because she doesn't, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, don't overextend yourself is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Because all it does is become. Your energy, it's the whole world becomes an energy sucker. Mm-hmm. And yes, your family's part of that. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't be committed to family. I'm very about family. But you're important.
But you're going to wake up on your deathbed and be like, oh, gosh, what did I do with my life? I just ran around or I did all these things I didn't even love. Or, you know, what did it help our family bond? Did it do this or that? Right. You can actually change your schedule or your life. You really can. As much as you absolutely feel that you can't, you can if you're willing to make the tough decisions.
Do you have stories about your own life, or is everything revolving around everybody else?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's your own unique as a parent story? Yes.
A parent. I mean, how many times do the kids graduate and then, I feel like it's a lot of times the mom is like, who am I? I lost my, you know, they were such a great mom and like poured so much into the kids. The kids leave and they're like looking around like, what do I love? What lights me up? What's my passion? Who am I truly? Like I see that over and over and over again. And it's like, it's sad to me that like sad. You can still be an individual and a person and be a parent. You can.
Yeah, you know, I'm dealing with some clients that are going through divorce right now, and the woman and I have been friends for a long time. The man mm-hmm. as well, but mm-hmm. she's been communicating with me, and you know, they're all of a sudden kids growing up, and her sense of purpose was always the kids. Yeah. And you know, he had the career, he had everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say that it was bad that he had that.
Yeah, she that was just okay.
Just mm-hmm. you know, and she decided her path. Now she's in her 50s and working at a grocery store, and she's miserable. She's not happy, right? Yeah. And mm-hmm. it affected because she had no identity of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that she's too old to not have an identity.
No, but she just needs to have the grit and like be like, okay, well, what do I love? What do I want? And go out and get it. And it's not easy, but like you still can do it. But I think people tell themselves that story when they get older. Oh, no, it's too late. It's never too late. Never.
To give a heck.
Yeah.
It never is. To live a purposeful life, right? Like
absolutely.
My book is helping people live life on purpose and not by accident, right?
Yep. Because I love that.
At the end of the day, we're not taught that. We need to be supported. Mm-hmm. We need to be told, you know what, like you said, have some grit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes no matter what we say, the story they have in their head is playing on repeat, and mm-hmm. it's almost, their shield is just almost impenetrable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you only can help the willing.
Yep.
I've gotten to that point with dealing with clients.
If they don't want
coaching.
It, it's on them. It has to be them.
It has to be them. We have to take onus for our own lives.
Yep.
And where do we want to be? And mm-hmm. are we tired of being camped? And, you know, like, look at the evolution of your life. And I look at even my own story. You don't know a lot about mm-hmm. my story, but my evolution of where I've gone through. Mm-hmm. We had those nights of quiet desperation. We mm-hmm. both had those nights of crying. And mm-hmm. yes, I'm a man. I do cry.
You fought for your life.
Right?
You fought for your life.
Mm-hmm. I fought for my kids. But mm-hmm. I realized when they were really young and I got full custody of them, 100% mm-hmm. custody of them, that I lost myself for many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do I regret it? No, because I five kids going through the divorce, going through custody battles. Yeah. It was tough on them. Mm-hmm. But one day I realized I woke up and I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on that hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I had to have an evolution and a change. The core key thing here is those listening and watching, I had to internalize, I had to realize, and I had to take action.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
So Chelsea, if you had to give our listeners one last closing message, what would you tell them in regards to giving a heck and never giving up?
Well, I would say kind of what we've been talking about, but, you know, find what lights you up, find what makes you feel alive, because you're going to be, you know, down the road on your deathbed, are you going to be proud of what you did and be like, yes, I actually lived my life. I didn't just endure my life, right? Like, we're meant to be joyful and happy and find purpose. So no matter what age you are, you can always restart. If you're not feeling that and know that you're living that today, go out and find it and chase your most fulfilled life.
Well, that's a fantastic closing message. I was thinking when you said find what lights you up, I think that's what a person should put, wearing a t-shirt and
have on the side of their vehicle. Maybe I should start making t-shirts. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Put on the side of your vehicle, on the back window. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, it's true though. Who encourages us to find what lights us up?
Mm-hmm.
Us. Us is a you.
It's on us.
it's not bad.
Yep.
Exactly. So our time is almost up. I want to respect our listeners and your time. However, before we end, can you please tell the listeners what's the best way they can reach you?
Yeah, I would say at my website, which is chelseahusum.com. So it's CHELSEAHUSUM. I have a free workbook I put on there called Your Unapologetic Life. So that'll pop up if you want, or you can find out connect with me on social. You can find out about my book, speaking, all this, just all the stuff. Find out more about me. And I would love to hear from you. If anything we said today, like, spoke to you, or you've been struggling with something that we've spoke to, I would love to hear from you and connect.
Right on. Fantastic. For those new to the show that are listening or watching, go to giveaheck.com, go into the podcast part of the website. You'll see a picture of Chelsea, and I'll make sure in the show notes that it lists her website and her social connections. Check out her book. You know, at the end of the day, the only way that we continue to evolve and develop in life is to feed our brains new information from people that we can relate to, that we can, you know, feel their energy of what they've gone through. Maybe it's the same as our energy's feeling, or even close to it. And it gives you that elevated part of your life that it hasn't been there, and helps you climb and grow. So I would highly suggest, obviously I haven't read the book, I just researched it. It would be something though that I think would help out both men and women, right? Because at the end of the day, we are equals in many aspects. I wish society would figure that out, but you know, yeah. I appreciate the fact of you coming on the show. And you have any last comments that you'd like to make before I wrap it up?
I don't think so. This was wonderful. I feel like we could chat forever. And yeah, thank you so much. I hope help provide value for your audience. And I really just appreciate you in having me on. It was wonderful. Yes.
No, thank you for coming on and sharing, and, you know, investing some of your time in my listeners and viewers, and most importantly me, because I've gotten a lot out of our conversation.
Me too. So, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks so much for being on Give a Heck, Chelsea. I appreciate your time and sharing some of your experiences so that others too can learn. It is never too late to give a heck.
Thank you for taking time out of your day and listening to Give a Heck. If you find value, I'd appreciate you sharing with your friends and family so they too can learn how to live life on purpose, not by accident. So you do not miss the next episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and please also post a review. I look forward to reading your comments. This has been Dwight Heck. If you want to check out other podcast episodes or today's show notes, please check out my website, giveaheck.com. And until next time, together let us all strive to give a heck.